This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:10 in the evening. You are with Lynn and Ayman on the Evening Edition. And our next story is going to be about Utusan Malaysia's outlook in 2020 and beyond. This is coming after reports that the news publication is seeking to relaunch this year.
So according to the Malay Mail, several sources confirmed that publisher Media Mulia Sundaram Berhad is recruiting staff to start working in February. Apparently the plan is to first publish it as a print version together with their sister publication, Cosmo, and then releasing a digital version afterwards with a view of doing this around April or May this year.
So for context and just to refresh everyone's memories, in October last year, 800 Utusan employees lost their jobs after the oldest Malay language daily ceased operations following a prolonged financial crisis. So I suppose the question here is what has changed and how Utusan is going to be moving forward now that there are plans to start again. I'm also interested in, I suppose, the timing. I think it's perhaps it's a strike while the iron's hot kind of thing, but in a landscape where I suppose there are concerns about an economic downturn and there are also concerns surrounding the media business in general, right? Particularly print. I would like to know whether, you know, this is a solid plan, a solid business plan, whether launching right now and especially doing it in print again is kind of wise, I suppose.
I mean, not many people get to have that second chance, right? Especially in a tough media publication landscape. So obviously people know that, you know, it's moving into a more digital form and relying heavily on advertisements and subscription models. But I think for Utusan moving forward, maybe that subscription model may not be effective in terms of making money. Knowing Malaysians would be like, would avoid trying to pay for anything, right? So perhaps the way is to rely more on ads, but it also depends on who their demographics are. If it's people who maybe don't have access to mobile internet, for example, or or are more familiar with print versions, print copies, going for the print route, I think would still make sense initially, but then eventually transitioning into the digital platform.
So on the line with us is Jabba Sadiq, and we are going to be headed to him right after this. In the meantime, though, if you'd like to weigh in, are you excited that Utusan Malaysia may be back as early as April or May this year? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 in the evening. You are with Lynn and Ayman on the Evening Edition. We're talking today about the potential return of Utusan Malaysia. And I guess we have some questions about whether right now is the best business landscape for this. If you have thoughts, if you're excited, if you're not, do call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Jabba Sadiq, editor at the Malaysian Insight. Jabba, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome.
So, I guess my central question here is 2020, and specifically right now in 2020, a good time to start a print and digital newspaper once again?
Well, obviously the owners think it is the right time. You got to remember that Utusan has a long pedigree in Malaysia. It came up in the 1930s, and it's got a lot of archives. It's got a lot of stuff that illustrates Malaysia's and Malaya's past. So obviously they are trying to capitalize on that, and they think they have a market. But, you know, I mean, I share your concern for basically because, one, what's the editorial direction going to be? And two, who are they going to target and at what price point? Because as I mentioned earlier by Ayman and you, Malaysians are very price sensitive, and most people don't subscribe to anything, right?
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, like, so the speculation is that they want to relaunch first as a print version and then as a digital version. So what is the allure of print copies, you know, in this time and age?
Okay, well, I think more so for the Malay community, they've always been what is that a mystique about Fringe, right? Not just in Malaysia, in Indonesia. So there is a market out there that wants to read something in print, a very tactile market, a very small market. But this is more people who are above, I don't know, 50. Mm-hmm. They're used to it. They it's compelling for them. But anyone who's 30 and below, you know, digital natives, they might just get bored after, you know, even if they first have to pick it up, pay for it, and then read it. You know, they might not be used to it. They're used to their Kindles, their handphones, in an age of Netflix. People want to watch and listen more than actually read.
So might it then be, how would it change, I suppose, if they were to go digital first? Because like you said, there is this sort of old school pull, I think, in many ways. And the idea of, I am a newspaper, ergo, I have to have a newspaper to be a newspaper. But is there something to launching in digital form first before going back to print, for example?
Well, it goes to the first thing I mentioned, you know, what's the editorial direction going to be? I mean, all these years, Utusan has been owned and controlled by UMNO. They have their own demographics, the people that they appeal to, right? But of course, over the years, that appeal has shrunk. And that's why they were in dire straits, first by raising their price and then two, completely closing down. And it made no difference to the Bahasa market because there wasn't a great bump in sales for either Berita Harian or Sina Harian, really. So it's a very shrinking market. I think the question we got to ask is, if they go digital first, how different are they from Berita Harian and Sina Harian? And how different would Cosmo be from Harian Metro? The thing these days is the greatest competition for all of us is aggregators and WhatsApp. People share all our stuff and then it gets mutated like a coronavirus and it infects other people. It gets photoshopped. Earlier you talked about coronavirus, same thing, right? Because there's going to be a lot of fake stuff. So why would anyone invest a lot of money when there are other products out there which are not doing too well also, right?
Absolutely.
So Utusan shut down about 4 months ago. That's relatively quite recent. And now there's rumours that they're coming back. So what impact does this sort of yo-yoing of operations have on the staff, former and soon-to-be-present staff at Utusan?
Well, I think for anyone who is willing to go to Utusan now as an employee, they have to ask themselves, A, would they have any security of a job for a while? How long? Would they be comfortable with the additional direction this time? Would anybody actually read them? At what price point? When Utusan closed down, it was at 2 ringgit. The economy isn't doing so well still. More so, I think, among the Malays, they've always been very price-sensitive about these things. And you have a mobile phone. You might have a tablet. You can access the latest news about anything now. Why would you want to read a newspaper, particularly if you are in the productive years of 20 to 50 years old? You're so used to your handphone. All of us are wedded or welded to our phone now. I figured it out myself.
So on that point, right, we're talking, I guess, about how one particular maybe going to be created company maybe returning company might fare. But overall, what is the outlook when it comes to the news industry this year? Does it look bright, I suppose?
I think from what I hear from my colleagues in the print side, circulation is down. I think if you were to pick up a newspaper today, I don't know whether any of you picked up a newspaper today. I actually had to buy a copy of The Star for my dad. And it's as thin as, I don't know, maybe it's 48 pages on me, and there's nothing much there to read. Even my dad, who's 81 years old, says, why do you even bother buying it? I say, well, you can always use it to wipe the glass later. Really. So I don't think the outlook is that great for print, unless you do something that's a specialist, like how they do in UK, The Guardian is a daily newspaper, and then The Observer comes in on weekends. You do a bumper edition on weekends with a lot of good reads, long reads. Utusan used to do all that, a lot of entertainment, the kind of things which you find it easier to read in print rather than scrolling through your handphone or tablet.
So I'm just trying to understand this potential move, right? Is the industry so robust in business-wise that, maybe it's like a good time to start again?
Okay, I think with respect to Itusan, the owners apparently are also the same owners as Media Prima, basically Tycoon Syed Mokhtar. And he's got a large group of companies. Maybe he can leverage and tap on the other companies in his stable of companies to advertise, to push through a product that is viable. But, you know, eventually it'll come to a point in time where it has to make money for itself to stand on its own 2 feet. I don't know whether that can happen. Possibly can. But again, it depends whether people actually want to pick it up. And that's the main question you got to ask. When Ultrasan was dying or was close to death, they shut down a lot of their printing plants in the East Coast. They were only being sold mainly in the West Coast. And the West Coast is where more people are prone to using their handphones anyway. So you really got to ask yourself this question. Who's the target market? And would that target market want a newspaper like Ultrasan today?
Okay, so in closing, right, we've been talking quite a bit about the print side of things, which is understandable because by what we're hearing, they are returning in that form first. But what is the outlook looking like in 2020 for the digital media side?
I think it's going to be very slow. You know, I think these days, news is a barometer of the Malaysian economy, right? I mean, if people were confident they would advertise their products or services, they would try to put it up in news portals first or aggregators and all that. But increasingly, people are just going direct to the market. You know, they got their own apps. You know, everything's an app now. And today, if you actually want to get people's attention, you would actually put your ads or work together with all those e-wallets because it's consumption there. That's where, you know, it's a call to action. You know, I want a cup of coffee, use this e-wallet and get a cup of coffee for a ringgit cheaper than normal. So why would they want to put it in a news portal, right? So the news portal business is also, we are trying to appeal to people, but increasingly people's phones are just popular with apps. And news is the last app they would put in because they'll get it by WhatsApp or Telegram or any other chat app.
And how are you coping with that, I suppose, is the logical next question, because I think everything that you've described is really accurate to how people use their phones, to how people get their news. But then, obviously, then the struggle would be to I suppose, meet your consumer where they are, or, you know, to push through that, I suppose?
Well, okay, so this morning, Dr. Khadija Sin, the media advisor to the Prime Minister, actually wrote a little post on Facebook about fake news and all that, and the fact that the lament is news media is dying, people are just going straight to rumours and fake news, so there are no editors or journalists to curate the news or to have accuracy and verification. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, we that's what we do, that's our USP. We verify news for you, we get it from the sources, we verify. We write it in a compelling way for you to read. But the more we do that, the more people are just aggregating our copy for free, putting up in their apps or wherever else, or circulating it via WhatsApp and whatever. I mean, just like a BFM podcast, right? I mean, how would you make money if there's a BFM podcast that's being circulated around? You don't. It's your calling card. You have to make money a different way, you know, whether you have on-ground events and that. So maybe that's the way we have to go. But, you know, there are too many ground events going on. People don't have time because they're working hard, right? So, I don't know.
It's a struggle. Jaba, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Have a good day, bye.
That was Jaba Sadiq, editor at the Malaysian Insight, talking about, I suppose, the industry outlook for both print as well as digital journalism and news. Mm-hmm. If you have thoughts about that, I think, really, how are you seeking out your news these days?
Yeah.
You know, do you welcome new news portals or old news portals coming back? Call us and let us know. That number is 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.